You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again. Give Cammy Campbell 60 minutes on a Sunday morning from 11 a.m. and he'll give you the local stories that matter and the opportunity to use the platform to voice your opinion to listeners across the northeast of Scotland. The North Sound 2 Talk-In. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland.
You could be next on the North Sound 2 Talk-In with Cammy Campbell. Call Aberdeen 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
And good morning. Welcome to North Sound 2's Talking. Over the next 60 minutes or so, we will discuss the local stories that matter this week, the issues that are important to you. And as ever, anything at all can be discussed before midday. It's your opportunity to voice your opinion on air to the listeners across the northeast of Scotland. Has something irritated you? Has it left you speechless, upset you, angered you, or just flummoxed you? Maybe you have something you want to celebrate and you have some good news to share. Well, good news is always welcome on this station, particularly in the Talking. You can contact us on 01224 401035. John's sitting there waiting to take your calls. You can text us in 61025. Prefix your text message with Cammy. You can email Cammy at northsound2.com or you can tweet us on Twitter at Cammy1035. Now, Aberdeen City Council's new administration has come under a little bit of fire for apparently giving themselves a pay rise. Opposition groups say they're not to continue the 5% cut brought in by the previous ruling group. Lib Dem councillor Ian Yule's been giving us his reaction.
My main concern is that almost the first act of Aberdeen's new Labour Conservative Independent administration has been to award themselves an effective pay rise. The previous administration of Liberal Democrats and Nationalists took a decision to cut the salary of committee conveners and the leader of the council by 5% and to cut the salary of vice conveners to £21,000 a year. The Labour Party, Conservatives and SNP, for whatever reason, and only they can answer that, have decided not to continue that policy. So effectively, yes, they have given themselves a pay rise. A £1,400 a year pay rise for conveners, even more for the council leader, and about £300 for vice conveners. It shows one of two things. If this was a deliberate act, I'm frankly gobsmacked that they could be so insensitive at a time when people across the city and across the country are struggling financially to award themselves a pay rise. And if they didn't notice they had done it, it shows a very poor grasp of detail, which doesn't bode well for the future in terms of their management of the city's finances. And quite clearly, they haven't continued these pay cuts. They've chosen to propose figures which include a lot more money for conveners and the council leader and a bit more money for vice conveners. I think that's wrong. I think they should have continued the existing policy. I think they should have continued to show restraint. They've chosen not to show restraint. They've chosen to take the money. And I think that's a very poor start to their administration.
But the Labour group in the townhouse have come out fighting over the pay row. They say the total allowances bill is actually lower because there's one less senior councillor. He is convener of finance, Willie Young.
Well, I think it's a spectacular own goal from Ian Yule because the new administration has actually saved the council taxpayers £34,000 in what we're actually entitled to have as allowances. And we're also we're paying ourselves £4,000 less than what the previous SNP Liberal Democrat councillors paid themselves in allowances. Well, what happens is that we're entitled under statute to take £424,000 of allowances. That's what the law says. However, we have recognised that the city is going through a very hard time. Our employees are going through a hard time. They haven't been getting any wage increases. So what we've done is we have decided that we are not going to maximise our allowances. So therefore, what we've done is we have saved the council taxpayer £34,000. There is no cut. What you've got to understand here is that we are entitled to, as councillors, take £424,000 of allowances. That is, in effect, our wages. What we have done is we have only used £390,000 of the money that we're entitled to take. So if we're entitled to take £434,000, we're only taking £390,000. And the SNP Liberal Democrats last time, over last year, they took £394,000. So we're actually saving the council taxpayer £4,000 on what they took last time.
And there you go. The new administration. have they got a pay rise? Haven't they got a pay rise? Have they made savings? Have they not? On the phone lines, Jim, hello.
Well, Cammy, how's it going? on?
Well, you know, I'm confuddled.
No, that's no hard, though, is it?
Well, no, I have to say, Jim, it's not hard, but this one's fairly flummoxed me. Anyway, Jim, the new Labour Council you wish to make a comment on.
Well, I just find it absolutely amazing that these guys can get themselves into the positions they've got themselves in when the first thing they do is give themselves a wage rise, and they've not done anything yet. And the second thing they do is they now start going back on when the people voted on Union Terrace Gardens. The people voted, not them, but Willie Young, in his wisdom, said before they were even in power that it wasn't the people's decision, which I find amazing because I always thought it was the people that put them in there to make the decisions after the people had said it. And the third thing is, this will be the same Mr. Willie Young that referees in the amateur football grade and takes £35 for an hour and a half's football refereeing. So I think Mr. Young and his Labour Council should really take a good look at themselves and get on with the job before they even make any decision on taking any money from the council. And whether they're entitled to it or not is due to anybody, because they are not worth anything unless they've made the good decisions for the people of Aberdeen.
Their argument, Councillor Noble and Councillor Young were both on last week, and they were...
They don't have an argument. They have done nothing for the town yet.
But hold on.
At the end of their term, yes, they can say we've done a great job and give ourselves a wee bonus. But until you've done anything for anybody, how can you be entitled to anything?
Well, he did say that his statutory allowance for councillors is £435k, right?
Whether it's a statutory allowance. I'm making a point here, and you don't play devil's advocate here, because they have done nothing for Aberdeen yet.
So you reckon they should pat themselves in the head afterwards?
After you've done a good job, why would you pat yourself in the head and give yourself a wage rise when you haven't even been in the job for a day or a dinner?
Well, yes.
You don't get paid, Gary Campbell, until your week's done or your month's done.
Yep.
And if your boss said to you, Cammy, you've had a bad month here, you know, you might not be in here next month. Fair comment, eh?
Well, sadly, you know, that many people are facing that sort of situation. And I mean, many people have had to say to people, well, you're no longer here next week. And you're
because
right.
It's things are tough.
Yeah, but I mean... You could spread this to other things. I mean, already the shareholders' meetings, you know, the big insurance companies and the banks, already the shareholders are turning around and just voicing your opinion in the voting rights and saying, no, they're not entitled to their bonuses this year. They're not entitled to a wage rise. If they want to be a director of this company, they just sit tight and do what they did last year. And there seems to be now a turning. And, I mean... devil's advocate or not, why wouldn't that happen to councillors as well? Why would you expect government bodies and government people to buck the trend, shall we say?
Listen, if they want the jobs and they fight for these jobs as councillors or whatever, then they should all be on a basic £20,000 a year or whatever it is, and then at the end of their terms, you've done a good job, you've done the city proud, then we'll give you this bonus. But until they've done anything for the council and for the people in Aberdeen, they shouldn't be giving themselves a wage rise. It's plain and simple. And I'm sure the people in Aberdeen, if they were to get a vote tomorrow, Labour would not get back in. I could guarantee that.
Well, maybe not. What's your thoughts about their attitude towards the Union Terrace Garden? You broached on that. Well, you see, it was explained to me that they can still object to this on the basis of, is it a good business policy? So if they...
Willie Young stated it before the meeting was even done and that the votes were even taken, that it was nothing to do with the people of Aberdeen because it would be up to the councillors to make that decision, which is an absolute disgrace. Why would they make a decision for the people of Aberdeen that is a wrong decision? Ian Wood is offering to put in untold millions of pounds to try and make Aberdeen a place to people come to. We don't have a lot going for us at this moment in time, Cammy. Believe me, you know, Everybody else is getting Olympics and this and whatever, and Aberdeen's got very, very little to bring anybody to it.
That's a fair comment. I mean, and I mean, again, one of the other topics, would you believe, is the Western Peripheral route.
How could anybody, any taxpayer would come in their grave if they had to know that they were going to be giving money to a university lecturer to oppose something that this town screams out for. And I drive in Aberdeen every day because my work makes me do this, and believe me, it is not a pleasure driving through Aberdeen or trying to get out of Aberdeen or even trying to get into Aberdeen. It is not a pleasure. You know, when you're stuck in traffic jams at the Hardigan or at, you know, Inverdee, any of these places, bottlenecks every time. It's a disgrace. The boy Walton should be shot.
That's a trifle harsh, Jim, to be quite honest.
All right, okay, well, maybe no shot, but maybe let me put me in a room with him for 10 minutes and I'll have a word with him.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's got the right to object. I mean, I have known you to object to certain things in life, and sure, you know, I mean, and I mean, joking apart, Jim, this guy's a lecturer, and he specialises in this, and he feels
he's abusing the privilege that he has because he gets paid to do it, but it's not his money that's going in there, Cammy. This is money that the taxpayers of Aberdeen and throughout Scotland have now. How many meetings have we had on this? Untold thousands. That peripheral road was only meant to cost in its entirety when it was first mooted 40 odd years ago, £42 million. Yep. It's cost us £40 million now in consultation fees.
Yeah, and there's not a stone been turned, so to speak.
Correct.
No. Okay.
You know,
very, very briefly, and without resorting to shooting the councillors, What's your answer to all this? Apart from the fact they shouldn't get their wages and what's your thoughts on it?
Tommy, it's a simple fact that they need to do a good job for Aberdeen. They haven't even got their foot over the doorstep, and they're giving themselves a wage rise. They're telling everybody that Union Terrace Gardens may not go ahead because they got beat in a vote. You know, and if they'd won the vote, they would have been the first ones to say, see, we won, so this is what happens.
Yeah.
But, hey-ho, the whole thing is they've not done themselves any favours by giving themselves a wage rise and turning people against us. You know, Union Terrace Gardens could be massive for Aberdeen. It's something, a vocal point for the town and for people to come and see, you know, and we're not doing it. It's ridiculous.
Jim, you've obviously thought about this before coming on. I do appreciate you coming on and put forward your point. Thanks for phoning the talk in today, mate. You take it easy.
Tommy, always a pleasure. Most
take
of
it
easy.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Ta-ra. There you go. Jim from the Shire. He is putting forward his opinion. And you heard it all there. What do you think? 01224 401035. Or on the text, 61025. John is keeping an eye on them. If you want to speak on the email, it's cammy@northsound2.com, or tweet us in cammy1035. It's a talk-in on Sunday on North Sound 2. We come back with another topic, but also, more importantly, your phone calls.
Call the North Sound 2 talk-in now on Aberdeen 40 10 35. That's 01224 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
There you go, first caller, Jim, on the phone, and putting forward his points. Reference the wage situation or the increase in allowance. I'm not really quite sure how that works, but it would seem to be that there is certainly, as Jim put it, a pat in the back going before any work has been done. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I mean, there's people out there who know what they're talking about. I'm sure they can phone 01224 401035. And you can phone in. What's your thoughts on the matter? I mean, is it the sort of thing that the councillors should be taking their full allocation, if that's their right, or should they show the fact that they are in an understanding position, as someone has said on the email, an understanding position with what is going on in the world around them? We talked briefly about the bypass. There's been a bump in the road this week for the campaigners battling against the Aberdeen bypass. Judges at the Supreme Court have told RoadSense that they are limiting the liabilities to ministers. That effectively means campaigners won't be able to afford a full legal team. RoadSense chair William Walton has called an urgent meeting with his lawyers. He told us questions need to be answered before they decide the next move.
We heard yesterday afternoon that the Supreme Court in London has granted a protected costs order for the sum of £5,000. So my liability in the event that I were to lose would be restricted to £5,000. But the sting in the tail is that the liability of the Scottish Government is capped to paying simply for one barrister and one solicitor, and we were expecting to go to this court hearing at the Supreme Court with two barristers. And it's a significant disadvantage to us. What I'm not sure yet is whether the Scottish Government will itself be restricted to one barrister, but there's nothing to suggest that is the case, in which case it would be two against one, and we're very unhappy about that. Well, I've not spoken to him, and I've not spoken to my solicitor yet. All I've seen is a trail of emails between the two, but without breaching confidentialities too much, I think it's fair to say that they're very unhappy about it. I don't think so. I think it's I'm going to have to speak to them in the next, as soon as possible. We were exploring, or I will want them to explore, possible remedies to this as to whether there's an appeal against the terms of the protected costs order. There is a possibility that it might provoke a reference to the European Court of Justice. I mean, that's how serious an issue this is, because it is our view that this breaches European legislation in terms of access to justice. I'm very surprised that there could be a restriction on the number of barristers I have. It's one thing to have a barrister going with a no-win, no-fee, but to ask a barrister to attend on a no-win, no-fee, or a win, no-fee, in other words, whatever you do, no-fee, no barrister will accept that contract or that terms of reference. So I am surprised. It seems very unjust. What I'd have to find out, or what we have to find out, is the reference could only be made by the Supreme Court itself, I think. And so therefore we'd be asking the Supreme Court to refer a matter to Europe, essentially asking the Supreme Court to accept that its judgment has been unsound. And I suspect that the Supreme Court would be very reluctant to make that admission. But if they are essentially sanctioning a 2-1 fight, then I'd be very worried.
There you go. It's William Walton, chair of RoadSense, on the latest situation there. And the one thing he does seem concerned about is the fact that he's only has one barrister, and probably he would be going into battle one barrister short, so to speak. However, he did say at one point in the press, I believe, that he would be quite happy to put forward his own case, although he is wary on the points of law. However, North East MSP Richard Baker is welcoming the judge's decision.
I think the Supreme Court's made a very sensible and balanced decision. It's protected William Walton for all the costs of the case, but it's also limiting the costs which will be imposed on the Scottish Government. And that seems to me only fair, because the Scottish Government's already paid hundreds of thousands of pounds out because of this legal action. That is taxpayers' money.
RoadSense are set to take their legal challenge to the Supreme Court in London on July the 10th, and they will also consider appealing this latest decision over costs. Now, good friend of the talk-in is Patrick. Hello, man. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Cammy.
Are you well this fine day?
Oh, I'm fine. Just do my housework.
Well, you shouldn't be... I mean, this is a double-edged sword, really, but we're just saying here, it's a lovely day. Everybody's out, which doesn't do the talk-in any good as the phones go, but it's a beautiful day today.
I know.
You should just let the dust settle, man. Just let the dust
It has been due for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I see. Okay, fair point.
Right. Now, firstly, I'd like to agree fully with what your last caller, Jimmy.
Jim? Yes,
I mean, I couldn't.
A shy retiring chap, don't you think?
Yeah, very.
Yes.
I'd vote for him tomorrow.
Yes. Don't say that.
Because at the end of the day, what he's been saying really is what I've been saying for weeks. At the end of the day,
It's,
I don't know if it's the right term to use for these MPs, politicians, nepotism, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to take the orders from higher up They don't seem to really concern themselves with what the people really want. They say that they're concerned with what the people want. They come to your door, they give you a lot of spiel about what they're going to do for you, and then they say, well, basically when they get in, they do what they want. And what Jim was saying, that's just not on. I mean, giving yourself a pay rise before you've done anything is an example of nepotism. Well, I don't know, that's the wrong word.
Yeah.
But giving yourself a pay rise before you've done anything, I mean, it's like me going to work and saying to my employers, all right, I need a £50 a week top up on my wages because I feel I deserve it. I've done nothing, but I deserve it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. That's that point. The other point is alternatives. These people who are fighting this peripheral route, have they put forward an alternative to it? Is there an alternative? I mean, we need this route. This route's been overdue for 50 years. I just can't get my head around the simple fact that these people are objecting. I think they're objecting for the sake of objecting. They're objecting because the law allows them to object. It's ridiculous. There's no alternatives. We need that route. It's like Jimmy was saying, you can't drive into Aberdeen without a traffic jam. You can't drive out of Aberdeen without a traffic jam.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck in traffic all day, and it's getting worse by the day. Because the more and more people move up here, the more and more congested we get. And we need an alternative. We need some other way of getting around the city. Not just, you know, keeping traffic out of the city if possible. And the peripheral route's the only alternative to that I can see. I can't see anything else unless you fly over the city every time. You know, everybody buy a helicopter and, you know, zoom around in the air.
Yeah, it's but ridiculous. Then you know what'll happen then, don't you?
Yeah, then the air traffic controls.
We'll run into the gas, the turbines. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
No, but you know, Patrick, Jim, and you. You're both hitting on the same thing, and I tried to sort of broaden it out a little bit because, you know, a lot of the major companies now are at the shareholders' meetings, and I was watching the press, the financial sides of the press. Over the last two or three weeks, you know, shareholders are saying, no, you're not getting your bonuses, mates. You're not getting your wage increases. You're not going to get more. You sit tight. I mean, there does seem to be a move now where people are beginning to say, You know something has got to change. Now, I'm quite sure the councillors will all say, yes, but we are going to be part of that change and we want to instigate that change. And that's fine. But you know, the people are now sort of sitting there and thinking the nitty-gritty. The guy from RBS, the head of the bank, the guy that was brought in...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was interesting because he had an interview. And he himself admitted the fact that his thinking turned when he saw just the reaction, people's reaction, i.e. his customers' reaction, to the fact that he was getting such a huge bonus. But he did put forward, but that was part of my deal. You know, when he was headhunted to come and take on that role, part of the deal was, if you do this, you will get this.
Yeah, I know. The trouble is these companies now are waking up. At the end of the day, they are waking up because shareholders have decided, as you've quite rightly said,
Yeah. They're
looking at what public perception is. Well, I mean, perception is 9/10, really, at the end of the day. It's what we see. If we see somebody coming in and getting a £2 million bonus for doing absolutely nothing, you know, eventually people start to speak up. And the shareholders, at the end of the day, they hold the strings. And they are looking at these situations, not just in the RBS, but in other companies.
They're yes. Looking, oh, yes. Well, I mean, we're talking, I think one was an insurance company, one was a pension fund, and one was a something I can't even remember. But, you know, it was a... The thing that fascinated me was it's starting to spread out across the board now, you know?
It is, and I personally think the government should have firstly set the example. They didn't. A parliament down south in London proved that a few years ago. And they prove it every year. Every election they get in, the first thing they seem to do is to award themselves a pay rise or some kind of bonus rise or whatever it is. And that's in both houses, whether it's in Westminster or in Holyrood. They all get themselves a little perk first. But people are starting to realise that at the end of the day, you have to be productive and produce before you can actually start earning money. And, I mean, we are all expected to do it, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't come into work without producing something and then getting paid at the end of it. If we don't produce, we don't get paid. And it should be the same with politicians and shareholders and bankers. And whatnot, because at the end of the day, it is it's showing a lack of responsibility on as far as some of these big companies go when they award these massive amounts. It's like you say, it came in with that deal. That deal should have never been on the table. It should have been a simple deal. You come in, you turn this bank around, you prove yourself, then you'll get your bonuses.
Yeah.
That's the deal you should have gone in with. And it's the same for every company. It should be the same thing for every business, because at the end of the day, it's the taxpayers paying it, the shareholders paying it, and at the end of the day, it's the consumers paying for it. You know, so they're all looking at it. So it all comes back down to us, you know.
Yeah.
And we're looking up to these people to sort of make things right and do the right thing by us. But some of them are not. Now they are. They are actually seeing the light, if you get that metaphor there. They've seen the light and they're starting to go the right way. But it should have happened years ago. And it's like these councillors that got in, awarded themselves a pay rise. I mean, what on earth are they playing at?
Yeah.
How stupid can you get? You come in, you give yourself a pay rise, and you say, right, now that we've got a pay rise, we're going to start to make things right for you. No, the first thing you do is make things right, and then, if you deserve it, you get a pay rise.
Get a pay rise, you yes.
I That's think, my opinion on it, and I fully agree.
No, listen, that is what the talking's about, Patrick, you're doing what other people, you're putting forward your opinion. That's what it's all about. I mean, we don't necessarily agree with everything we hear and talk in, and we don't necessarily agree, and I'm quite sure the councillors, they wouldn't necessarily agree with us. But the point is, there seems to be a hardening of the whole approach. That's the thing, Patrick.
I think public apathy proved it last time during the election.
Yeah.
People are getting absolutely sick and tired to the back teeth of politicians saying one thing, doing another. Coming in and saying, we'll do this, and then doing something else, giving themselves a pay rise and patting themselves on the back for everything. And to turn around to the electorate and say, I'm sorry, but the decision's not yours, it's ours. It's absolutely abhorrent. I mean, that is, that's going back to, Mr. Hitler, you know.
Yes.
I will do what I want and tough shit.
Yes, and it's happened.
That's
Patrick,
really not on.
As always, enjoyed talking. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All the best
bye.
To you. Now, we have a couple of people. Andrew's waiting on the phone, and so is Sarah. We'll talk to them after the break.
This is the North Sound 2 Talk-In. Hitting local matters hard. Call Aberdeen 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
Good morning, it's Cammy on the talk-in here at North Sound 2. John's on the phones, 01224410. And the other, too many Johns. And the other John is on the text. Have we got text? Have we got these things?
Yeah, we've got a couple coming in already.
Andrew's been waiting. He's coming from Fraserburgh. Andrew, hello, how are you?
Hi, Cammy, if you'd like, how are you?
Well, let you have your say first, and then we'll do some text. We'll talk to Sarah, and then we'll do some text. Now, are you on about political things?
Well, I think very quickly, Cammy, Stephen Hester, we talked about the RBS chief. I see he's paid
That's
back.
His name. That's his name. Yeah,
He's paid back just about all the debt, I think, Cammy, that the bailout initially gave the bank.
Yes.
So he's been very successful, that laddie, in his job.
Well, you see, and it's very unfortunate that his success has come after such a period of, such deep trauma, but he's done it, and he's paid off an incredible amount of people in about three sweeps as well, you know.
Oh yeah, he was a very efficient, and indeed is a very efficient guy.
He is,
and it's just the worry now for most of his Cammy on political matters would be the blooming ongoing saga with the euro. I would imagine, Cammy, because there will be a fallout in this country, I think, if Greece comes out of this, the Monetary Commission they're all in. Basically.
Yes. Do you think they'll allow Greece to come out of the euro, or will they not?
I would imagine they're doing their best to try and keep them in, I think, but the package of austerity that the Greeks have to kind of bite, if you like, they're not going to have. I mean, they're still contesting elections in Greece for
Are they not going back to another election because they couldn't get an agreement with the various parties?
That's a fact. They can't even agree. And I mean, The problem is the folk there attacking the streets and burning a few buildings down and smashing the place up. And,
oh, you're like Jim. He wants to shoot folk.
Oh, no, I know. You just think, well, maybe that's the type of folk now. You know, having said that, we should all be very careful because it might be a very cheap place to go on holiday coming in another year or so.
Well,
so we should maybe patronise the Greeks rather than condemn them.
Oh, you cynical sod, you.
I know. The problem is, I think they've just paid themselves far too much. I mean, they were retiring at 50-year-old, some of young folk over there. Again.
Hey, that's a great idea, mate.
Oh, what's that?
Listen, they've got nice wine, right?
Yes.
They've got nice weather.
Yes.
They've got lovely scenery. Why wouldn't they want to retire at that age?
Well, you've probably got a very good point. The problem is, Cammy, utopia costs big dollars.
Hey, you're right, yeah.
And anything that's publicly funded, sadly, like this country, then I'm afraid you're stuck with the blooming your lot till you're 65 at least, I should say.
Well,
these days.
You know, we're being lighthearted about it, but there's many, many people who are deeply upset by the fact that they are not going to be able to pursue their retirement dreams simply because of the situation. Now, guess what? You know, when it comes down to me and you, I don't think we can do much about it because the reasons is way above our head. But, you know, as Patrick was alluding, and so was Jim in his way, people are sort of thinking, well, sod this is just not on. Something, you know, And, OK, I'm not saying the Greek way of going out burning cars is a great way of putting over your point, to be quite honest. But, I mean, there does seem to be people who are out protesting nowadays, isn't there?
Well, the thing is, you see, the wages, for a start, they were coming down for, say, £900 a month, can't meet to £300 a month.
Yeah.
You know, there were loads of people with no job at all. They've got food parcels they're having to dish out to those on the bread line. And you didn't want to see that in any country. It's bad enough in this country with the enormous benefits bill we've got.
Yes.
And again, there's no a day goes by in the Evening Express. You didn't read about somebody fiddling the benefits, can we? So maybe that's something we need to look at because we're spending $100 billion a year in benefits in the UK.
I know. Right. But, I mean, they seem adamant they want to come out of the Euro thing.
Well, yes, I quite agree. And I think the problem now is, of course, will Spain and Portugal follow suit, you see? Well,
yes.
They say, well, you kind of have rules for one.
I think that's what prompts me to say, will they be allowed? But listen,
yeah, well,
Andrew, we're talking politics and world finance, and you want to talk about Aberdeen Football Club.
Yeah, well, I think while we're on the subject of money, I was obviously disappointed to see that both Fraser Fivey and the Icelandic lad, Kari Arnason, is it?
Yes.
Arnason's not going to be offered a new contract, we're told by Craig Brown, and young Fivey is set to leave, if not in the summer, then next January.
Yes.
And, I mean, are the Dons to be sort of understood? You know, they just simply can't afford to pay the wages these lads are after? Or in Fivey's case, is it just an ambitious move for a young boy? Personally, I feel young Fivey should have stayed in Scotland for at least another 3 years to harden himself up a wee bit and hone his skills a wee bit more, Cammy.
Yeah.
You know, Anderson, we're told, wanted wages in the region of $4,500 a week. Now, that's speculation, but, you know, is that maybe just far too much now for a club like Aberdeen?
I think $4,500 is a lot of money for a week's wage.
Unbelievable. Well, you're on $20,000 a month, Cammy. It's almost $250,000 a year. And they'll have bonuses, obviously, on top of that as well.
But are Aberdeen not very strict about their wage structure?
Well, they are, and this is why you've got to give Aberdeen and a lot of the other SPL clubs a sort of bit of sympathy, because I think some of these English Division 1 clubs, Cammy, are paying wages such as the $3,000-$4,000 a week. And, you know, this is maybe clubs like Northampton and things can cough up big money, Cammy. It's very, very hard to get players to come up here. And certainly the chaos for Rangers this season has not helped to, you know, emphasise the SPL at all, Cammy. It's been a very negative season in Scotland this year. The quality of the football's been poor at times. But we said, I spoke to Jim Traynor last night. I said that it's all about the quality of player, Cammy.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford to buy the quality players, then you're not ever going to get great stuff on the park, I'm afraid.
Well, this is it. And you know, for the future, it doesn't look as if there is going to be monies available, is there?
No, exactly. It's going to get worse. And I think, I mean, there's belt tightening going on all over the UK. And, you know, that affects the people that, you know, are going to the grounds as well, Tommy.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of money now if you've got two young kids to pay for it. Or even yourself, if you went to the main stand, you're about £28.
It's an expensive thing, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I believe if they could afford to take the prices down, by all means. But I just realistically kind of see that they will be able to afford to reduce prices, Tommy, that if anything, they'll go up the way. And, you know, this is just the level of austerity. But then I don't know how much Sky and ESPN pays out to the likes of Aberdeen every season. It wouldn't it be huge.
Well, you know, but I mean, this new stadium, this new future, the way forward, you know, we need to have a source of revenue and a source of turnover in order to achieve the future goals, albeit maybe not footballing goals, because that we'd like anyway, no matter where the stadium is. But, you know, it's back to running cost, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, like, we could all do a Rangers. Rangers were like the Greece, if you like, of the Scottish football world. And look what's happened there. They've gone literally bankrupt.
Yes, it's...
And, I mean, that is the danger. If you live beyond your means and just think, oh, I'll just pay Curry Anderson his £5,000 a week, and it comes back to bite you, Cammy.
Prudence
well, exactly.
is always
you
necessary.
Would,
yeah.
You would probably love to buy a Bentley, I'll bet you, but, you know, the problem is the payments to Arnold Clark would be, you know, beyond most of us, I would imagine, every month. So
yeah.
I'll stick to my Skoda, and that's just, you know, how it is these days for most of us. But I just hope, obviously, Aberdeen can maybe have a bit of a clear route and get one or two better players in. They didn't need lots of them, but...
Just something,
you know,
something to keep us going, something to give us a bit of fire.
Exactly. Someday it can put the bar in the back of the net as well.
That will be an awful handy thing.
That's the bottom line. just contrast Scottish clubs with this. West Ham got something like, is it £90 million or something for going up into the English Premiership, Cammy?
Yes.
Now, I mean, that sort of money we wouldn't generate in the whole of the SPL, I wouldn't say, in a season.
£90 million?
You know, because they get a parachute payment, I think, there, don't they, if they come down again.
It seems to work quite well both ways there. They get something just to keep them going type style, doesn't it?
Well, I think they get something like £30 million for going up. Then your share of the Sky money, well, that generates something like £60 million. But obviously they're paying out a hell of a lot more in wages than we are. So.
That's true, yeah.
But I think, were they the ones, did West Ham inherit the Olympic Stadium? There was a bit of a row going on as to who was going to get that.
There was a bit of a rumpus between two teams, and I'm not sure actually who came out on top. I'm not sure at all. But Andrew, next season,
yes,
it's going to be better.
Undoubtedly. And I think you'll see the Gers back in there. I'm not a Rangers fan, incidentally, but you will see, sadly, needs must. And a CVA will cut through a hell of a lot of sporting integrity, as I said last night, Cammy.
Yeah.
Money talks, and we need Rangers there as well as the rest of them, I'm afraid.
I would agree with you. Andrew, thank you very much for taking your time and talking. All the best to you, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sarah's been waiting. We're definitely talking to Sarah next.
The North Sound 2 Talking. The lines are open now for you to discuss whatever's on your mind. 01224 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
God, it's like buses here. We've got texts coming in. We've got emails coming in. Sarah, you've been waiting. My apologies. How can we help you?
Oh, don't worry, Cammy. Lovely morning, isn't it?
You know something? I was up this morning with the larks. It's a beautiful morning. And during the break, John and I were discussing, do we do paperwork or do we go somewhere nice?
Somewhere nice.
That's it. And which nice place has a beer garden? That was the other question. But let's not go into that because we drink responsibly here in the shop. Okay, Sarah, what can we do for you?
Right, okay. It's actually something personal to me.
Yes.
But it's also to do with the council. I think it's the council should actually look at this. I'll explain.
You explain.
I became tenant in 2003. I council tenant 2003.
Mm-hmm.
The previous... a tenant had actually got a grant to put in a gas central heating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this time, this property that was allocated to myself was the only one in the tenement block that actually had gas central heating.
So this
wasn't explained to me that I was going to be paying extra. So since then, I have been paying £10 extra each month. I know it doesn't sound a lot, but over the years, it does mount up.
Yes.
Everybody else in the same block pays less. Now, since then, with all the renovations and things that have been done, they all have the new combi systems and everything like that. And then they've had the kitchens and bathrooms done and things like that. Well, I didn't get that done because of my disability.
Yes.
So this has all been done. And I did contact my local MP, which was Anne Begg.
Yes.
She sent a letter to the council stating this. They turned back and said, we don't look into how much everybody's paying and things like that because they don't have the money. You know, they wouldn't go and do a survey again because they don't have the money to do this. But in this day and age, when people have got different things in their house, you know, like being upgraded and things.
Yes.
I think it should be reintroduced. I'm at the end of my tether. I don't know what to do. Am I going to have to keep paying those £10 extra monthly? I'm just wondering, I'm putting a plea out there to any of the councillors who can maybe
so
help.
What you're really saying in the talking is, if there's any councillors listening can help, get in touch with the talking.
Yeah.
Sarah,
you
know
could,
something?
If they could contact North Sound.
That's not a problem.
Is that okay?
Yeah, listen, you've just done it anyway, haven't you?
Oh, fantastic, Cammy. You're just a star.
You've just done it. Look, I'll tell you what. I do know some of the councillors listening.
Yeah.
And if any of the councillors who are listening can help Sarah, they think they can help Sarah with this problem, fine. And what we'll maybe do is, Sarah, we will see if we can maybe make some contact with some of the people and maybe help you out in that one, okay?
Fantastic, Cammy.
Not a problem.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Crikey. I'm like, Jim will fix it now, won't I? John, what have you got in the texts?
Sarah in West Hill.
Cammy will fix it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the same ring, does it?
I don't know. Yeah, same.
Well, I don't do
times.
Cigars.
Well, you could start. I mean, you've got the big medallion around your neck already.
Don't have the hair, so do I?
Sarah in West Hill, can't believe the first thing the council have done is give themselves a pay rise. And Mike in Aberdeen, he's just moved back to Aberdeen in the last year after work taking him abroad for a year or so. And he can't believe we're still talking about the AWPR. You cannot believe it.
Oh, crikey. On the email, Neil says, and this is his email, council staff had to take pay freezes to keep their jobs. Council staff, that is, yes. And now the new council has decided to give themselves a pay increase. The last administration limited the salaries of conveners to £21,000, except for Barney Crockett, who took his full salary as a convener. Surely the people of Aberdeen must be looking at their choices on election day and realising the new administration is only lining their own pockets. It should be noted that of all the conveners, the only one not taking the 5% increase is the former council leader, Callum McCaig. All electors in Aberdeen got the chance to vote on the UTG and voted in favour of the city gardens. The council elections were not a referendum in the gardens, so should not be taken as such. As for the AWPR, they've had two appeals with costs covered. If RoadSense want to appeal again, use their own money, not ours. And that's regards from Neil Barber there. Now, I wouldn't quibble with the facts. I don't know if they're right or wrong, but that's his feelings. But once again, it's coming back onto the money aspect, and people, you know, are obviously not very happy about the fact that the council seem to be giving themselves more money. John, recent elections and Union Terrace Gardens is your topics.
Yes, hello.
You have the microphone, sir. Crack on.
Okay, come here. Right. I'm a wee bit out of touch, to be honest, because we were away on holiday for 2 weeks, and I just got back last weekend. But it was just
Where did you go?
I've read quite a lot of letters in local press.
John, where did you go for holiday?
Pardon?
Where did you go for your holiday?
I was in America, West Coast America, Las Vegas and Los Angeles. Francisco. It was just a sort of tour thing.
Is that right? It's nothing personal. John and I hate you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, carry on.
Right, the fact was about, I can't remember how much time coming.
No, you're okay.
I just want to lend my support to the current council. Everybody seems to be doing the top of them because they're sort of threatening to stop the Union Terrace Gardens thing and all the rest of it. But and saying that I was a referendum before that. But there was also a consultation before that, which put the
form.
So basically, I just went to lend him a bit of support because they seem to be getting quite a lot of brickbats about their viewpoint. But I think they're doing the right thing, personally. And,
well, the thing is, I mean, this we discussed this last week, and as was pointed out, they still have the right to object when it comes to proving the business plan for it. So, you know, that is part of the way forward, and that's the way it can go, John. But you're right, you know, they seem to take some stick in it. However, that's if it's with the territory, shall we say.
I know. They did kind of put their cards on the table before that, and... I think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Because
John, I'm
really was barked up with great heaps of advertising. That's my main gripe about it.
Yes.
Again, if it had been a total level playing field, well, fair enough, but it wasn't. Rules were kind of changed if they'd started it.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, this is going to go on, and the talk-in can't this week, I'm afraid, but next week we will be back. Thanks very much, John.
Okay,
Raymond Clunis,
thanks.
You are on the phone. Sorry, my friend, we don't have time to talk to you today on the talk-in. We will catch up with everyone next week. Have a good afternoon in the sunshine.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.